There's three distinctions right there. When you're studying your Bible, you can see there's times past, but now, in ages to come. All right, we live in the but now. This is where we're at right now. And that's written by Paul in Ephesians chapter 2 to the church in the dispensation of the grace of God, which is where we live right now. Almost every single heresy that is taught in the Bible can be applied doctrinally in its truth, but it's just applied to the wrong time period. I mean, there's a lot of teachings and there's a lot of things that we would call heresy taught today that you can find that doctrine in the Bible, but it does not apply to the church today. You can't take it and apply it to us. And I'm going to show you some of those verses as we go through here. But there's several doctrines, and there's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of different religious systems or whatever, different doctrines that are taught that are absolute Scripture, and they're in there, but they're trying to apply them to the church today. And I call it a blender doctrine. Y'all have heard me say that before, and I'll probably say it again, where people take the entire Bible and put it in a blender and mix it up and try to pour it out and say, all right, this all applies to you. When you do that, there are verses in the Bible that would seem to contradict each other. And there's people that do not believe in God, or they don't believe in this Bible, and they think there's errors, they think there's mistakes, and they'll use these verses to pin against one another to say, look, it says one way here, and it says another way over here. Now, a lot of people can try to explain it away and say, well, that's not really what that's talking about. But I've always been one that, you believe the words that are on the page. Like, when you read it, I mean, that's what it says. And you don't have to try to...
So there's a lot of folks that don't rightly divide, and they don't know what to do with certain verses. verse number 8. The Bible says, "For by grace ye are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." Not of what? Not of works, lest any man should boast. Now, that appears to be a direct conflict and contradiction with James chapter 2. James chapter 2 verse 24 says that a man is justified by works and not by faith only. This verse here says it's not of works at all. It's just by faith. So that they appear to contradict one another. Okay, so let's ask the two questions that I mentioned a second ago. Can you turn down the main speakers a little bit? It's echoing up here.
Do what? All right, it's on now. All right, there we go. Okay. All right, so let's ask the two questions. Who's speaking and who's he writing to is the first one. All right, look at... you're here in Ephesians. Let's look at Ephesians chapter number 1. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus. All right, so Paul's the one writing, and he is the apostle to the Gentiles. We went over to Galatians chapter 2 and showed you that. Galatians chapter 2 talked about him being the apostle to the Gentiles. Peter's the apostle to the Jews. So he is the apostle to the Gentiles, to the church, and he's writing to the saints which are at Ephesus. He's writing to the church. We know that this verse applies to us doctrinally, because Paul's writing it, and he's writing it to the church. And the time period that it belongs in now, the church age. All right, look at James chapter 1. Let's go over here to James. So James chapter 2 appears to be a direct contradiction to Ephesians chapter 2. Find out who's writing, who they're writing to. And if you don't rightly divide, there seems to be a contradiction here. I mean, the two verses say something different. But you rightly divide and understand who they're talking to and who it's directed to, and it helps clear that up. There doesn't have to be confusion. James chapter 2, verse 24. Okay, James chapter 1, verse 1. Let's see who's writing. James. All right, he's one of the apostles to the Jews also. That's in Galatians chapter number 2. He's one of the pillars of the church. They're there in Jerusalem, and James is a Jew. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, all right, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. He's not writing to the church. He's not writing to saints. He's writing to 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Now, historically speaking, we told you last week that there's historical, doctrinal, and spiritual application. The book of James, historically, is writing to those that scattered after the stoning of Stephen. James wrote him a book. And this is it. Doctrinally speaking, it's written to those that will be going through the tribulation time period. So every dispensation, every time period, God has instructions for that, and He's got a plan for each one of those groups. So these are those going through the tribulation. The age of grace is going to end, and there's going to be a dispensation, a time period change. You say, when's it going to end? Nobody knows. It's a mystery. The church age is a mystery. And, you know, we don't know when it's going to be. Whenever that time comes, we go into the tribulation time period, then it's going to change there. And now we got an element of works involved. No longer is it just by grace through faith. Now there's going to be something else involved there after the rapture of the church. All right. Look over at Matthew chapter 24. James is written to the Jew in the tribulation time period. Ephesians is written to the Gentile in the dispensation of grace, written to the church. Matthew chapter 24. All right, Matthew chapter 24, look at verse number 13. We got another set of verses here that appear to be a direct contradiction. Matthew 24:13. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now, this is another popular verse for a lot of churches in their doctrinal statement, saying you have to work your way to heaven, you got to hope you made it, and you go talk to somebody and say, hey, you know, if you were to die today, are you 100% sure you're going to heaven? And they say, I hope so. I hope I did enough. I hope I did enough to make it. And this is one of those verses that they use to endure to the end. But he that shall endure to the end, the same shall be saved. Hold your place there. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 1. We'll just give you some examples of why someone, why you need to rightly divide and understand who it's talking to, what time period is it in. 1 Corinthians chapter 1. All right, 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, look at verse number 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 6. Even as the testimony of Christ was confirmed in you, so that you come behind in no gift, waiting for the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall also, confirm you unto the end. You may be blameless in the day of our Lord Jesus Christ. Matthew says you have to endure unto the end. Here it says that Christ is going to confirm you to the end. If you're saved, He's going to confirm you to the end. Matthew says you have to endure to the end. That's something that you have to do. 1 Corinthians saying that God's already done it. If you're saved, you've been saved by the glorious grace of God. He's already confirmed you to the end. You're saved. Now, we know that there's a difference between your flesh and your soul, and your soul's saved, and that's the one that's sealed until the day of redemption, but your flesh can still sin and mess up. But God confirms you to the end. That's what this verse is talking about. And so, but again, there appears to be a contradiction. All right, go back to Matthew chapter 24. Let's look at these questions that we asked. Matthew chapter number 24. Who's writing? Who are they writing to? What time period does it apply? Matthew chapter 24. Alright, Matthew chapter 24 and verse number 1. And Jesus went out and departed from the temple, and his disciples came to him for to show him the building of the temple. Alright, so Jesus is talking here. Matthew's the one writing the book. Then let them which be in Judea flee into the mountains. Verse number 21. For then shall be great tribulation, such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. They're prophesying, they're talking about the tribulation to come. All right, that's what they're talking about here. And so the book of Matthew is written to the Jews that'll be going through the tribulation time period. And this is what they're talking about here. All right, go back to 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 1. Starts off Paul, so we know Paul's writing, called to be an apostle of Jesus Christ through the will of God, and so Thenas, our brother, unto the church of God. That's not talking about the church of God, you know, churches. It's talking about the church as a whole. All right, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all that in every place call upon the name of Jesus Christ our Lord, both theirs and ours. All right, he's talking to the church, those that are saved in the church age, and Paul the apostle is talking. Again, it appears to be a contradiction, but if you're rightly divided, and we'll start going over this in more detail when we go through each one. Let's look at one more, last one, Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3. And these verses I'm showing you, and there's more. People will take them all the time and they'll try to say there's a contradiction. Your Bible's got contradictions. Why? Read these two verses. They contradict one another. Well, no, not if you rightly divide, they don't. Not if you understand who's right and what time period does it belong in. All right, Hebrews chapter number 3, and look at verse number 6. Hebrews 3 and verse number 6. If you're there, say amen. All right, Hebrews 3, 6. But Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the what? Okay? It's talking about, but Christ as a son over his own house, whose house are we? He's talking about, you know, to the people he's talking to, whose house are we? He said, if you do these things, if you hold fast the confidence, talking about the people, if we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end. You know what he's saying? You have to hold fast that confidence. You have to have faith in God and you have to, and this is talking about the tribulation, I'm getting ahead of myself, but he said, if you do those things unto the end, that's what he's saying there. Look at verse number 14. Verse number 14, same chapter. For we are made partakers of Christ. All right, if it ended right there, then it would just match up with everything that Paul's talking about when it came to salvation. But he doesn't end there. For we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. You've got to hold it confident the whole way through, steadfast unto the end. All right? Now, go over to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. Has anybody here ever doubted or wavered? Huh? We're honest with ourselves. Amen. Doubted and wavered. Well, that right there says that you can be a partaker of Christ if you hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast all the way to the end. All right? That's instructions is given there. Look at Philippians chapter 1, verse number 6. Philippians 1, 6. Okay? The book of Hebrews is written to the Hebrews during the tribulation time period. That's what it's dealing with there. All right, Philippians. Again, you go to Philippians 1:1. He's talking to Paul. It's Paul writing. He's writing to the church, writing to the saints. Look at verse number 6. Philippians 1:6. Being confident. This is what Paul's telling the church. You can be confident. Being confident of this very thing, that He, Christ, which hath begun a good work in you, will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. You know what he's telling the church? The work that God did in you when he saved you, he's going to perform that work until the day of Jesus Christ. It says nothing about you having to hold on to it. It says nothing about you having to hold the confidence. You don't have to do that. God's performed that work. It says you can be confident in the fact that Jesus Christ is the one that's performing the work. He's the one that began the good work in you, and he's the one that's going to hold it fast until the day of Christ. Now, those two verses seem to contradict. Over in Hebrews, it says that you have to hold fast the confidence and you have to hang on to the end. Over here, it says that Jesus Christ already did it, and he's the one hanging on to it till the end. And I'm thankful he has, amen, in our time period here. All right, so those are just some examples there. Now, I'm just going to give you this last bit of introduction, and then Lord willing, next week, we'll get started a little bit more into some of this stuff and look at some of the stewards over the dispensations and some of the God's elect, and that'll kind of help. All right, now, I'm teaching 10 dispensations, and there's some that teach, like Clarence Larkin, I believe, and Schofield, teach 7 dispensations, all right, 7 different time periods, and that's not necessarily wrong. There's a couple of, so the first dispensation is the dispensation of innocence, Adam and Eve in the garden. Dispensation of conscience. Then you got the third dispensation. That's the human government. And then the dispensation of promise. The dispensation of law. Now, this dispensation, the ministry of Israel, a lot of those guys that teach 7, they combine these two together to make it one. Because really, when Jesus Christ was on this earth, they were still under the law. And I'm going to show you some of those verses. It talks about how they were under, it was the law up until Jesus and the apostles came on scene. But they're still under the law there. And so they combine those two together. Then you got the church age, the dispensation of the grace of God, and you got the tribulation time period, the millennial kingdom, and then the new heaven and new earth being the 10th and final one. So those are the ones that we're going to kind of cover and try to go over in more detail. The first 5 dispensations, the first 5 here, you got law, you got innocence all the way to law. These 5 dispensations are all in the Old Testament, and we can see those by the covenants. And as we go through there, we'll look at some of those. The covenants are down here. You want to look at them sometime. We're going to go over some of those. The 6th dispensation, which is the ministry to Israel, is still a part of the Old Testament. Even though it covers the ministry of Christ. And I showed you all those verses a few weeks ago in the book of Hebrews, where a New Testament does not start till the death of a testator. And when Jesus Christ died, that's when it started officially the New Testament. The 7th dispensation, which is seven is the number of completion or perfection, is the church age, the dispensation of the grace of God. And the last three dispensations cover the tribulation, the millennium, and eternity. All right, and we're going to stop right there. And Lord willing, next week we're going to go over and talk about just briefly some of the stewards. In every dispensation, God's always had a man or men that He's entrusted and that He's put as a steward over that time period. And so we're going to look at some of those. There's a head steward that God puts over each and every one of them. There's nine covenants that God made with His people. And those are connected with six of the dispensations. And so we're going to look at some of that as we go through there and look at the covenants. All right, let's all stand. All right, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank You, Lord, for loving us. And God, we thank You for being such a good God and a gracious Lord God to us, Lord. We thank You for Your precious Word. And Father, we thank You for all that You've done for us. God, I want to thank You for those who have given their life that we can have this Bible today, God, and we can keep it in front of us, Lord, and read it and study it, Father. And I pray, God, You give us wisdom as we go through here, Lord, and study this. Lord, You allow the Holy Spirit to do the teaching, Father. And Lord, I pray that it's not confusing because of me, Lord. I know Your Word's not that way, Father, but I pray that I'm not being a stumbling block, Lord. I want to be a help. And God, we pray You bless it, Lord, be with our prayer request tonight. God, I pray You bless each and every home, Lord, and the situation that they're going through, God. I pray You bring healing where it's needed, Father. Bring conviction where it's needed. And Lord, I pray You'd be with those that are here tonight, God. I thank You for them. Those that are not here, Father God, whether it be sickness spiritually or physically, Father, I pray, God, that You'd just please be with them. And Lord, touch their hearts and their bodies. And God, to bring us back safely Sunday, God. May we come with a spirit and an attitude of worship, God, to come hear from You and hear from heaven. And we'll be sure to thank You and praise You for it. In Your name we pray. Amen. All right, well, soon the kids come out. They'll be doing choir practice, so...